It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list.
We will begin hour two with Blake. We'll hear from Dusty Baker and his thoughts on Alex Bregman and a potential return to the Astros. But let's get to Blake first. What's up, Blake?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good, man.
Oh, hey, great to talk to you. Thanks for having me on. First, as a lifelong Mississippi State fan, I want to congratulate Sean on his Texas team doing such a great job this year. Welcome to the SEC.
Thank
you. Make sure to not hate on Mississippi State. We're the person that goes to the dinner knowing somebody else is going to pay, and just say thank you. All right? We're just
right.
Here for the check.
All right? Thank you, Blake. I appreciate that.
But the main thing I wanted to call about, I was listening to the morning show today, and one of my favorite Dave Chappelle skits is the player haters ball. And so I want to award Mr. Zuerlein the player hater of the year. He was hating on Dell for being a hater, but no, he's the hater of the year. So I wanted to give him that award.
We appreciate that, Blake. That took a turn because considering what happened in the morning, I thought that was coming my way. Yeah, if you missed it, listen to the podcast. Alan, our intern, put it up. It started early. I was filling in for John, so that means Abigail was filling in for me, and Lance tried to sow discord and did a good job of it. So I appreciate that, Blake. I'll let him know. He watches the Chappelle show too, so he'll take that and probably laugh at it quite a bit. But yeah, I don't know if he's Silky Johnson or another of the haters. But Lance was in full effect this morning.
I think he's Buck Nasty.
I like that one.
I think he's Buck
Nasty. We can't say the Rosie O'Donnell joke.
No, we can't.
No, we cannot. But Blake, good memories. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, Mississippi State. I liked them against Georgia the way they played. That Van Buren kid had a nice outing. We'll see if that can translate under Jeff Lebby. But yeah, Mississippi State's just here to hey guys, we're in the SEC too. Don't hate on us.
Yeah,
and just we'll be surly in the Egg Bowl. We may win that one. Give Ole Miss a challenge every now and again, and sometimes certainly beat them. But yeah, there's no reason to hate on Mississippi State for any reason.
Yes, if anything, I hate I'll revisit how much I hate Mississippi State after the Georgia game because maybe they played Georgia too close and got them focused. I was like, ugh.
Yes, let's find a way to blame anyone but Texas if they lose.
Gave Kirby a reason to yell at his guys. Because, you know, he's always looking for reasons to yell at
He's always looking for reasons why they're not taken seriously or discounted or no one's showing them respect. Well, you don't give up 30-plus to Mississippi State, yeah, people will talk better about you.
I get why he shoved Michael Van Buren.
He was lighting them up. I would have been upset, too. Probably
had to take this in my own hands.
Hit him harder than one of his linebackers did on that day. thank you, Blake, for calling the show. You're welcome anytime. Okay, let's get to this. Dusty Baker did a podcast with John Heyman and Joel Sherman for the New York Post. Very lengthy. He talked about a lot of things, his career, his time as a manager, whether he would want to get back in it. But at the end, they asked him about the thing we care about most, his thoughts on the Astros. And it's all these talking points that they cross off as Dusty is answering questions. And the final one was number 10, end of the Astros run. And they asked Dusty Baker about his time there and what he thinks about the guys who are still there, and eventually got to Alex Bregman. So here's Dusty Baker with Heyman and Sherman on the future of the Astros.
I do believe in Jim Crane because he's not opposed to, you know, to spending some money to stay on top. I mean, he expects to stay on top. I mean, I don't play golf. You talk to people that do play golf with him. I mean, he expects to win, and he's spoiled by winning, and winning spoils you. And so, you know, I don't see him sparing, you know, any expense to try to remain on top and get a good team.
Dusty Baker on what's it called, the show with Heyman and Sherman, John Heyman, Joel Sherman. He loved Alex Bregman in his clubhouse, a guy who he didn't have to tell things to. That's so beneficial to a manager, a guy who knows what to say. The manager doesn't even have to have a word with him. He just knows that guy's going to be on it. That's some of the intangible stuff we don't really think about when we're having these discussions day after day about who should be on the team, how much should it cost. The intangibles of the leadership of Bregman, how much is it worth to the Astros? At some point, this thing will end. I don't think losing to the Tigers in the wild card round should be the end point. But if you start to keep slicing off people who are around for it, and then you start to think about all the leadership that's gone, the guys who knew what it took initially and to sustain it, it happens all the time. That's why this Astros run is so remarkable. It eventually has to wane, and it'll wane because either the guys you kept got older and were less productive, or you start to lose guys because you're making financial decisions that you think you can make and then acquire talent through your drafting or maybe a trade here or there to supplement some of the losses. And the Astros have done a great job doing that so far. But at some point, inevitably, you won't keep making the right decisions. And we've seen some of that when you talk about it felt like Yuli was done. And of course he was getting at bats in the playoffs for the Royals, but then you think you make an upgrade in Abreu and that was a disaster. Are you going to cede you're going to cede over third base to a young player? If Bregman goes, are you going to make a short-term big money deal with someone who you think fits? Those are the decisions the Astros have to make. If they say, Bregman, what you're asking for is not something we're willing to pay. Sean has talked about it quite a bit. If he had to make a choice, he doesn't right now. Well, he doesn't ever. It's not his money. But if he did have to make a choice.
Until I'm GM of the Astros.
If you had to make the decision, you would sign Bregman for emotional reasons. Although Kyle Tucker is the younger player and the outfielder, and you think that might be a more important position. But I don't know what Kyle Tucker is as a leader. I've never heard anything about him in that regard. I'm not speaking one way or the other. But we hear from the guy who was around Alex Bregman for some time. That guy was important in that clubhouse. And if you're losing to that guy, who's left? Altuve, who seems more like the silent leader, although we've seen him be very outspoken in the immediate aftermath of them losing to the Tigers. And we've seen him on the field being a little different. Altuve taking off his shoe and a sock this year, being upset about another call that led to him being thrown out. He was different on the field. I just don't know how that translates to the clubhouse day after day with, at this point, some guys beyond Bregman, Tucker, and Yordan. A lot of guys who are, I won't say they're short-timers, but these are just guys who weren't there from the start. Well, in fact, Tucker and Yordan weren't either, but they're cemented now. So just some thoughts from the manager. We all wanted out of town, I guess. Bregman's very important. We'll see what the Astros think about that. But if Dusty Baker was general manager, he would try to convince Jim Crane to sign Alex Bregman. And we'll see what Jim Crane thinks when push comes to shove. And do you think Bregman will bring an offer to the Astros and go, hey, if you match it or get anywhere close, I'll come back? Or he'll be like, hey, you could have done this for a year or two now. I'm taking this deal. We're not even having a conversation.
I imagine it's a case by case. If it's a offer that completely blows the Astros' latest offer out of the water, then like obviously not, because they're not going to jump up that much. But if it's something that's in the same ballpark, maybe. It mostly just depends on the kind of the tenor of the negotiations. And, you know, you see sometimes where guys do try to give the incumbent team any chance to come through with an offer. And there's other times where guys are just like, bleep you, I'm out. So, well, I don't really know which way Bregman and Boris are leaning when it comes to that. But I imagine if it's competitive, that's what this sound really told me, is that if it's a competitive race to get Bregman, if it's somewhat close, I think Jim Crane ultimately will just be like, all right, let's not be stupid here.
I would hope so. And if, like you mentioned, if it's something where some team is like, we're just going to, they don't poison pill in baseball, but the equivalent, we're just going to throw all the money
we can.
If he gets
like $35 million, if he gets the Anthony Rendon contract.
Yeah, it's at the beginning of the contract, and it's, hey, we just want to give you this just to make sure you don't even consider thinking about going back, because we want to hurt the Astros in that way, and while bolstering our team. I don't think Jim Crane's going to touch that.
Yeah,
I just want to point this out before we go to break. This is the quarterback you allowed 3 touchdowns to last week, Texans. Drake May was asked, because the Patriots are going to play the Jags in London. Drake May was asked why English fans should support the Patriots. His quote, first off, I think it comes with the name, New England. That's the guy you gave 3 touchdowns up to?
Hey, he didn't go there to play school, all right? He didn't go there to play school.
It's true, but he made a joke. He tried, at least.
Oh, that was a joke?
Yeah. Well, you're right. Maybe it's serious. I don't know. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, and it was a joke. But you're right. It could be him being...
England? New England?
Hey, it's pretty easy. Throw that new in front of it, and look.
Boom.
We're just like you, right? I don't know. The whole point of leaving New England was...
Yeah, if anything, the New England Patriots should be the team that
they are least likely to root for. Yeah, I mean, if they hated our independence and us breaking away, New England wouldn't be the team they root for.
It should be the country the country is united against.
Yeah, of all the NFL teams to hate, I know
would be them.
They are a team that won a lot of titles, but that's now in recent. Not the distant past, but it's in the past now.
The name comes from the time we beat you guys in a war.
Yeah.
In a real life war.
We call ourselves New England to show how different we are from old England.
Yeah. It's the people that's not still live there, but the ancestors of the people, they're right by the stadium.
Like you said,
they threw your tea in the water.
He didn't go there.
You're just going to take it?
He didn't go there to play school. He went there to play football, and he's done a good enough job to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots. We'll see if we get any more Drake May bangers over the course of his career. I'm sure we will. I've heard him speak. We'll get some more.
Oh, are you not calling him out, but you're kind of calling your shot of like, he'll give you some
you
quotes.
Know that meme, I've got one more in me, like the Vince Carter meme? Yeah. Drake May's got plenty in him.
Oh.
We ain't got to worry about it. As long as he's relevant, Drake May's going to give us some bangers. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We got two more segments, actually three, but one more segment to go before we get to Michael Carroll. Michael Carroll apparently did the podcast this week with Raheel. I did not know that, but I saw Michael Carroll just tweeted out, and Raheel, who joined us earlier, was a host filling in for John Lee. Of course, they talked about the Penguin because Raheel loves himself some Batman, so that's not a surprise. The Penguin, through 4 episodes, it's really good. I know it has... The Penguin, and it sounds kind of silly, but the last 2 episodes, speaking of bangers, really, really good episodes. So if you want to watch something on Sunday nights, maybe the Sunday night game stinks that night, The Penguin's there for you. Episode 5 coming up here on Sunday. Keith, I see you. You want to get in. If anyone else does, 713-780-3776. Michael Carroll, after. In a bit, about 15 minutes, we'll talk to Michael Carroll of Comicast. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
Stylings of Michael Carroll. You'll get more of that in about 10 minutes or so. Okay, Keith. What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, Dale. Hey, Sean. Love the show. Was hoping to get in on the last show, but that did not happen. But you guys are great. I have a hopefully you guys can rank some playoff baseball home runs for me. I'm going to give you guys five home runs. I just want to get your thoughts and rankings on them. So we have 2024 Big Christmas last night, 2024 David Fry, 2004 Albert Pujols off ledge, 2019 Howie Kendrick game seven off the foul pole, and fifth and finally, 2002 Barry Bonds, the longest home run in playoff history.
Oof. Do we even remember all the names? Barry Bonds in 2002, that I don't even know who that was against. That's 20 something years ago. I know they went on to lose in the World Series to the Angels.
Yes.
Rally Monkey. 2002, exactly. Troy Percival and Garrett Anderson and all those guys for that Angels team. John Lackey, I think, was even on that team. But
even John Lackey.
Yeah. Who's best known, at least for me, for that gif where he's yelling, he's cursing. People use that to describe what's going on in their lives. He also mentioned the two home runs last night. That's recency bias. You can't use those. It's too soon.
I want to put Big Christmas up there
because of the nickname?
Yes.
Yeah, the nickname elevates him, but the Fry home run, is it any more important than the Burke home run in 18 innings? Chris Burke, is it any more important than that?
It's more meaningful to me personally.
Yeah, see, emotion plays.
Like, oh, that one's ALD or NLDS.
It's earlier in the playoffs. He didn't even throw in Kirk Gibson's home run, which I guess would trump all of them. Joe Carter's home run.
Mm. Yordan's home run.
Yeah, 2022. Yeah, Yordan's home run. Ranking them. Big Christmas, let's put him at three because the name is cool.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds didn't lead to a title, so we'll drop that to four. Albert Pujols over Lidge. Screw that. That's five. What else did he say? Oh, no. Howie Kendrick, five. That ended a World Series. Okay. Howie Kendrick, five. Pujols, four. Big Christmas. Fry, three. Big Christmas. Bonds, two. Big Christmas, one. I don't care. Who cares?
There we go. Big Christmas.
Big Christmas has a great nickname.
Biggest home run in postseason history.
Sure. Right there. And at least in
the
rankings.
Of the five that we get.
Of we got. Not even the biggest home run.
Shot heard around the world.
Robin, yeah. And I got to some of the others. Didn't even get to those.
Marwin Gonzalez in game two of the 2017.
Did Yastrzemski hit a home run or something? Yeah. A big one? Yeah, didn't even get to those. None of those. Aaron Boone off the foul pole.
No, Big Christmas, better.
Well, Keith rankings, you have to remember. Keith, he likes to live in the world of the in-between. Like, he won't call up about, hey, he's a Ravens fan, but he'll call more about free agent quarterbacks that some team he doesn't care about could sign than he will about how the Ravens are doing. The Ravens are probably the best team in football, despite their record, and Keith never calls about that. So, you got to understand the man making the rankings.
Yeah. The artist at work here.
The artist known as Keith. Keep using that pen or paintbrush, depending on how you you make your artwork, Keith. Appreciate you for calling in. Yes. And I appreciate you acknowledging that you would have rather been on the first show, but you couldn't get it. don't think that slipped by.
I mean, Pena was the same way.
Yeah, I tried. I did prompt Pena to call in because I saw him up there in two stints for probably a combined hour, and Lance wouldn't get to him.
No,
he was too busy trying to cause a fight to happen. And he had his buddies on. He had Steve Smith on and Five Star, and also Willie Fritz was on earlier in the day as well. So if you missed any of that, you can find that on the John and Lance podcast, thanks to Alan, our intern.
Dream blunt rotation. Steve Smith Sr.
Yeah, let me be clear. Steve Smith Sr.
Yeah,
that's his
not
name.
His kid.
Yes.
Steve Smith, Five Star, and Coach Willie Fritz. And Lance.
And Lance. We've got a great football coach. We've got a great wide receiver and a great picker of games and a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, Lance.
I thought I was going to crush Lance by saying which one is not like the other, but we got a Hall of Famer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So
Steve Smith wishes he was in the Hall of Fame.
I ain't going to say that to his face, though. He may wish that, but I'm not bringing it up.
Are John and Lance going to get, like,
plaques?
Or jackets? I was going to ask, like,
I have looked up that,
like,
website.
Burgundy jackets.
The Texas Radio Hall of Fame website, and I have not seen anything that would suggest they're going to get jackets.
They should make some for themselves.
Todd, get on that.
If I was them, I'd make some for myself.
I don't think either one of them is doing that. The families will be there, which is cool. I think is that the first Saturday in November? I forgot what date they're being inducted. November 2nd. They are. You can go to the website and see that their names are there, I believe. So, actually, I don't see their names on there. This seems like the one from last year. So I don't know if they've updated the website yet.
They're there.
They're there. They're just combined. It's Granado and Zerline on the same line. So they're there November 2nd, Saturday, the Texas Museum of Broadcasting and Communications in Kilgore, Texas.
I thought some new information came to light.
Well, they've heard any of the shows this week. It may be a reason like Harvard called and like, we've got your transcripts and we're going to have to put you on the wait list because we don't like how your last semester went. I don't think the Texas Radio Hall of Fame is going to go through all that, but I don't see anywhere where they're going to get a jacket.
Okay.
But they're going to be celebrated, so that'll be cool.
They will be celebrated.
Attire for the Saturday event would be best described as business casual. Historically, jackets and neckties for men have been a rarity, so maybe you don't have to wear a jacket or a necktie.
They should be like, it is the Radio Hall of Fame.
Dress for photos is probably the best advice we can give. Have they seen what radio guys dress up like when there's a photo for this website? Are they looking for that? I wonder if they forced them to do all the stupid poses radio guys have to do when they take their promo photos. Like if there's three of them, the one guy in the middle is doing the thumbs to each side, and they're back-to-back poses. Raheel and I, when we had our show that he referenced, we just threw up. Well, I didn't even go to Miami. I'd just been indoctrinated since I was a kid, but he went to UT. We just threw up the U and the horns. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we went back-to-back, but we did. We didn't dress for photos per se. We dressed for, hey, we're not like those other shows.
Yeah, for the young hip show.
Yeah, and at one point we were. Now we're just washed. That thing was like probably 5-6 years ago now, I think.
What, like 2018, 2019?
Something around there. It's been a little bit since that show was on the air, and people at points in time say, hey, man, we missed it. Like, well, Dead. That show's long dead.
Dead.
But hey, you get a taste of it every now and again when Raheel calls in, and we welcome Raheel at any point. Okay, when we come back, we'll be joined by Michael Carroll of Comicast. He hosted Comicast with Raheel this week, so we'll get his thoughts on the Penguin through 4 episodes, and anything else he may have recommendations on, we'll talk about as well. So we got a couple more segments. And to be clear, this is probably going to be the last segment. If we go by what we normally do here, the Michael Carroll segment's generally the last segment, unless you think 3 minutes to close out the show.
I was going to say, in that case, do we want to talk about your friends?
My friends at MyBookie?
Yeah.
Sure. I love MyBookie. We got a college football weekend that started last night with Bill O'Brien taking a whooping at the hands of Virginia Tech. So I know that thrilled some people, unless you had money on Boston College. But if you did put that money down last night, that's where the risk-free Thursdays come into play. Now, it's Friday, so you can't take advantage of it. But remember, every Thursday, you go to mybookie.ag, put some money down, and you get your money back if you don't win. And obviously, if you do win, you keep it. MyBookie is always looking to give you an advantage, whether it be from the promo code, which is ESPN975, where you can deposit up to $1,000 to match. They'll match up to $1,000. So if you're a newbie and you just want to figure some things out, you're not sure how to approach this thing, you want to put $100 down, you get another $100 to play with. That's why MyBookie is the best for anyone looking to take advantage of some of their sports betting options, whether it be college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, or the NBA season that's about to begin. MyBookie is the place for you. Of course, they still have their casino, and they have a live casino where they have a dealer that will deal you your cards if you're trying to play poker, or blackjack. So remember, MyBookie.ag is a website, and they do have their tiered program, which is a loyalty program called MyBookie Plus. The more you bet, the more chances you have to win prizes. MyBookie will take care of you no matter what you want to do. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here with us, and he got his first look at Sean Mapes in his Bevo hat.
Yeah, I was not prepared for that.
Now, Michael Carroll is not a horror fan as far as watching those movies.
I don't like where this is going.
Do you think there should be a Longhorn-based killer? And if there was one, that hat would be part of the equation.
Yes, it yes. would 100%.
Instead of a Jason mask or Michael Myers, you just have someone wearing that Devo hat and murdering people.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I honestly could see that.
I think the silhouette is more terrifying than the actual.
Yeah, you don't ever see the face because you don't want the murderer's face to be revealed. No, but you just see the silhouette and then a murder occurs.
Part of the unknown is what's the scary part. And I just see this this horn silhouette
of
some person.
You think it might be some type of, what are the Greek mythological?
Minotaur.
You think it's like a minotaur. Yeah. But chasing you down.
Oh,
but
no, I'm in a labyrinth. Yeah. I didn't know.
But actually, it's just some angry Quinn Ewers fan murdering you because you threw a pick in the first half.
That's all he's yelling in the hallway at you.
Ewers, why he murders you. So if you haven't seen Sean on Twitch or YouTube or Twitter, you can find him. He is wearing a spectacular hat as he's really excited for the game tomorrow, Longhorns, Dogs. Okay. Moving on from a horror movie I'm crafting in my head. You were the host of Comicast. You had a couple guests. In fact, one of those guest hosts called in, didn't tell us that he was on with you, but Raheel Ramzanali joined you for a review of The Penguin.
I thought episode four. I thought I heard him earlier. Yeah. So it was a half episode or half issue with Raheel. So the first half I did with Ashley Saunders of Geek Girls Universe and Ashley and Company, her website. We talked about Agatha, and then Raheel and I talked about all things The Penguin. And, we went in a lot of directions on that part of the podcast, as you can imagine with Raheel.
Of course. Now, he was almost straight-laced today, which is a surprise. Apparently, he had things to do, so he couldn't be normal Raheel. So you review The Penguin. I have seen Agatha all along. I am warming up to that show as it goes along.
It's good.
Yeah. I was unsure early. Because I'm not big into witch stuff, not that because Agatha All Along has a lighter tone, although the first episode has Catherine Hahn's backside. I was like, oh, Disney Plus. All right, okay. But that's in it. But it does have a lighter tone, and I've realized over the course of time I'm into more serious, darker tones as far as my comic book stuff. But that's grown with me. I'm watching it every week. But the one that's getting all the best thing that's we've seen in a long time is The Penguin. I mentioned it before the show aired when we talked about it here, whether it be during this segment or just random segments during the week, that if you like prestige television and you're waiting for another thing, ignore the fact that it's DC coded and there is The Penguin as a title. It is not this comic booky thing, although early on I thought, okay, we're plot armor for or main character armor for The Penguin. Can't kill him, obviously. But the things that happen in episodes 3 and 4 elevated this show to a point that I wasn't sure it was going to get to.
Yeah, it's a show that, like, after episode 3, I was like, that's my favorite episode of the season so far. Then episode 4, that's my favorite episode of the season so far. They keep delivering on multiple fronts. And it's, like you said, it is DC-related, obviously. You're talking about the Penguin. You're talking about a Batman villain. But where Agatha All Along is good, and it leans into the more comic booky narrative, like you mentioned, the more magical elements of that world. This one leans into the comic book elements, but not nearly as much. It's still more of a mob show, if anything. This is probably the most comic booky episode so far, episode 4, with some different characters, obscure characters from
Magpie,
the comics.
Magpie, who I had to look up.
Yeah, Magpie, which I was listening to the companion podcast for The Penguin, and they talked about, yeah, we picked her because the name Magpie we thought was like a fun name to use, which made sense because she's not like the comic book version, but what she did, what Ventress and some of these other parts added to the mystery of that show, because I think there's still a pretty big mystery, because I don't think it's cut and dry as to who did. I don't know how deep we want to say anything in terms of spoilers, but just how deep the murder mystery of the hangman's kills. They make you think it's a certain person, but I don't think it's that person.
Well, the way that these women are murdered, isn't it similar to the way Selina Kyle's mother was murdered in The Batman?
I believe so.
So that, I guess that would be where some people fall in and cement their theories, because the person in question, at least the one that actually did the murders, I guess, if you want to go by that, would be someone who is accused of murdering Selena Kyle's mom.
Right.
So we will see. But yeah, we get the backstory. As I mentioned, I love finding out more about Sophia Falcone and how she got to where she is. And she had her, I don't want to give it away for people who haven't watched it, but she had her moment, and it occurred late in episode 4, where we're like, okay, this clearly is a serious player.
The dinner monologue was so good. And then the, like you mentioned, the outro part of the episode was such an interesting setup for her character, because you learn about her character the way she's first introduced in the show. She seems like, oh yeah, she's one of these bad people, been bad the whole time. And as you see, and as you pull back the layers, she's actually was one of the more just regular people that has become this new version of herself. And that's the new beginnings, I think, was a big aspect to episode 4.
And it reminded me of Michael Corleone from The Godfather, yeah, where he was supposed to be the clean one, the one they were going to have make them more legitimate.
Yeah.
And then factors took place, and obviously he became the Godfather. Mm-hmm. Now she's on a path to do that after, well, you'll watch the episode and find out how she got to that. But she was the upstanding citizen, the one, the pride of the family.
She's running an organization like that's helping people. Like she's a genuinely... She's not completely innocent, because she knows what her dad's doing.
Sure.
So, and she was willing to be the lead of that family.
Sure.
But she is in a more like genuinely wholesome, like good person at the beginning.
And it's funny now I think about it. The plan was to send her away, much like they sent Michael away, but he had already committed his acts, as opposed to what she has done later. So I'm in on that. Agatha All Along, I'll watch. I mentioned to you, and I think I've mentioned it this week, that Cattle Lake is a movie that premiered on Prime last Friday that that I found very interesting. It's a thriller. It's a mystery. All I will say, once again, is a young girl disappears in a swamp in Louisiana. That's the only tagline I'll give. That's the only summation I'll give, because if I start talking about what the movie is, you start to expect things. You're looking out for things. I just say, hey, people, go in fresh, watch it, and I think that movie will surprise you. That's out on Max right now. So you talked about Agatha All Along. You talked about The Penguin. You can find that issue 562 anywhere you listen to podcasts. It's there. And with the new time here on ESPN 97.5, it'll be from 8 to 9 on 97.5 tonight. If you're driving around, you're out and about, or you happen to just be home on the stream, you can listen to it that way as well. Okay, so that's what's on Comicast. For people maybe going out or staying home, depending on what's available and what they have time for, what would you say go watch or say not to watch?
Theater-wise, it's kind of quiet this weekend. The big wide release is Smile 2, which is actually getting quite a...
I like Smile 1.
I don't know. When I first saw the concept of that movie, I was like, I don't know. But it's actually getting good reviews. The first one did, and this one.
Yeah.
Sitting at 85%
Jasmine
right now
is in it. Live action Jasmine is in it.
the thing I think of her from is the Power Rangers reboot.
She was in that.
Yeah.
But one was more successful than the other.
Yeah, that's true.
The live action Jasmine from Disney's in that mode of making either photorealistic animals in, like The Lion King, or just putting actual people instead of cartoons. So she was in that, and that's where a lot of you might know her from. She's been in some other stuff. Naomi Scott is the actress's name. I don't know if I'll get to it this weekend, but I think Smile 2 will be in the offing for me to go watch.
It's probably the one that's going to win the box office this weekend. Yeah. I just imagine, with the buzz and everything. And outside of that, it's just kind of spooky stuff. If for folks that want to see Saw re-released in theaters, the 20th anniversary is this weekend. And Hocus Pocus, of course, that's getting a re-release, because it's like every year I feel like it gets a re-release. Streaming-wise, though, is probably where you want to go. Woman of the Hour, the film that's on Netflix about the woman who has a run-in with a serial killer on a dating show back in 1978. This is based off real events, is probably the movie that I want to watch the most this weekend.
The reviews are saying it's really good.
It's 92% right now, getting very good reviews.
Anna Kendrick is in the directing and starring, is acting, starring in it. Yeah.
So that one, and I like Anna Kendrick. I like seeing what she can do with it. So I'm curious about that one. Shrinking season 2 on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, I saw that pop up on Apple TV this week.
Getting universal praise yet again for season 2, 96% right now. Bruce Campbell has a new like horror type show on Peacock called Hysteria. I don't know too much about that, so I'm not going to necessarily say like go check that out. I would probably lean towards Woman of the Hour or Shrinking. You have Brothers, the weird film with Josh Brolin and Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, I saw that pop up on demand, I think. Yeah. Or is it a streaming
show? It's streaming.
Prime, right?
On Prime Video.
Prime, yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. You watch the trailer. If you want to watch it, watch it. For action-wise, I want to lean towards Shadow Strays, which is a new Netflix film. 82% right now. It's about assassins and action. I mean, you got me as soon as you say assassins.
Understood.
And Lincoln Lawyer season 3 is out this weekend as
I'll
well.
I'll give you one a little bit off the beaten path. It is on Prime. I didn't know it was coming back for season 2. I was tuning in to watch Spencer Rattler be bad on Thursday Night Football.
Very bad.
And it popped up. It's called The Devil's Hour. It has Peter Capaldi in it. You may know him as one of the doctors from Doctor Who. He is in it, and season 1, I had to refresh myself because I forgot about it, but it is a time-bendy, different timeline type thing, and I love those type of shows, and he's in it. I'm trying to think of anyone else people might know. If you watch a lot of British TV, you might know Jessica Raine. She's an actress who called The Midwife. She was in that show, but I don't know a lot of people who wouldn't have watched that show would know her. I just know her because I've seen a lot of British television. But that one's good. I love it. Season 2 is back, so that's one on Prime. If you like timeline, different trippy stuff where you're locked in, kind of like if you like Dark, it's not as deep as Dark where people are being born because of people traveling back in time, but this one has that element to it where you're not really sure what's reality and what isn't, and you have different ones, so... that one was good in season 1. I'm looking forward to checking out season 2. It is once again called The Devil's Hour.
And you said Prime Video?
Prime Video, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, now you're giving me stuff. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm giving the people maybe not what they want, but maybe what they need. Okay, Michael Carroll. You don't have anything that's a stay away, do you?
No, not really. I mean, I was looking back through the list. There's nothing that I would say don't watch. I don't know much about Hysteria, so I can't say otherwise. I do like Bruce Campbell, though, so that's why I'm like, I want to put it on the list. There's nothing out there that's like, oh, you got to avoid it. I already talked about some of the other ones from previous weeks, so.
Gotcha.
And I'm prepping for Venom next week.
Oh, yeah. Sean just... turned away from the computer for the first time and gave a fist pump because we talked about Venom.
Yes.
He's excited.
Venom, The Last Dance.
Yeah, The Last Dance.
Unless they convince Tom Hardy to come back and join Tom Holland or something.
No, it's The Last Dance. Yeah.
We don't know what could happen.
Sure.
Because they said last in the title.
I heard.
I wonder if Michael Jordan's going to be in it.
There, Scottie Pippen complaining in some way, shape, or form. We'll see how much money
Scottie Burrell.
Yeah, anyone. Scottie Burrell was actually a star of The Last Dance. We'll see how much money it makes.
I just want the security guard, as Venom does something, guard's like,
yeah.
I believe he's dead.
Oh, well.
Right. May God rest his soul. You said you're curious to see how much money it makes?
Yeah.
It's got $30 right here.
Oh, look at that.
Built-in audience.
Maybe try a matinee. Maybe get your money's worth.
$20.
There it is. Okay, we'll have a review of Venom, The Last Dance at some point in the next couple weeks, so... Michael Carroll will help us out with that. We got one more segment to go here. Thank you, Michael Carroll, for joining us.
Thank you.
Remember, the host of Comicast, you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. And, of course, you can listen to it from 8 to 9 here on 97.5 on Friday nights. One more segment to go before we wrap up the week. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew...
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We got what looks like either GAs or Texas walk-ons. I'm not sure who those guys are on the field as Pat McAfee is doing his show from the stadium. And he's looking out and the guys are trying to get his attention, and they have. I don't know. It's just some Texas personnel out there. Not sure what they do.
All right, guys, let's focus. We got a game tomorrow.
If you're the equipment managers, let's stop playing in McAfee and get ready for the game. Texas, Georgia tomorrow in primetime in Austin. We got a game on Sunday that is of some importance. Packers, Texans. I started yesterday's show with saying the Texans get blown out here, I'm putting them on fraud watch. Not calling them frauds, but I'm putting them on fraud watch if they play another team that's really good on the road and get blown out. I mentioned something earlier. I'll get to it now since we're ending the show. There are several teams that have really good records in the league. Sean, you want to guess which team has the easiest road to their good record? Let's go 4-2 and above. Think of all the teams that have a record like that. Which one do you think has had the easiest road so far?
Oof. I'm trying to think of who just like hasn't played anybody. The Vikings.
Incorrect. No, they're not one of those teams. But it's close. You're in the same division.
Oh, the Packers?
No.
It's the Chicago Bears.
Yes.
All they've done is beat one win teams.
Yes. They
forgot that they're that good. Wow.
Yeah, 4-2. Their record. I've labeled this when I put it in the rundown the most fraudulent team in the NFL. Sorry, Joe. But if you look at what they've done so far, every 4-2 team in the NFL and their opponents, they have defeated in their combined records. Someone tweeted this out. Right, the Buccaneers 13-9, the Ravens 13-11, the Steelers 12-11, the Falcons 4-5. So it's every 4-2 team. So the Texans don't qualify. Packers 7-15, Bills 7-16, Commanders 7-17, the Bears 4-18. That is the record of the teams they faced. While they're 4-2, they're one of eight teams that are 4-2, and they by far have had the easiest road in terms of the teams they beat. Obviously, the Texans would change that if the record overall of Bears opponents is what 9-? Well, I don't even know who else they lost to. They lost to the Texans, and who else did they lose to?
Colts.
Yeah, and the Colts are 3-3. So, but of the teams they've beaten, a bunch of lambs that the Bears have taken care of. And you got to get your win someplace. So if we're talking about frauds, let's throw the Bears on the list, at least right now. We'll see what they do the rest of the way. Okay, here's a team that the Texans wouldn't consider frauds. They play them this Sunday, and that team's the Packers, and their head coach is Matt LaFleur. He spoke about what the Texans' defense and offense will do as far as a challenge for his team.
Yeah, I just started diving into Houston. Certainly, offensively, they got a lot of great players. I think their offense is a lot different, too, when Mixon's back. He ripped off a couple of long runs yesterday, and you can just – the physicality with which he runs the football is different than most. So he'll be a big challenge. I think C.J. Stroud is – I mean, he is as talented as anybody, and he's got a lot of weapons to throw to. So I think Bobby Slowick does a really good job with that offense, studying him throughout the course of the offseason. So they got a lot of weapons. I know Nico's down, who I think is one of the best receivers in the league. But I still think it's a very explosive offense that's capable of putting up a lot of points and yards. Defensively, what strikes me is just their style of play, how hard and fast they get off the ball. Will Anderson, he's a force. They got Hunter there now. But collectively as a unit, I think the whole D-line does a great job. And like I said, I'm just kind of getting into them now. But, it's one of the – just statistically, just looking at the numbers, it's one of the top-ranked defenses in the league right now. I think they're top five in most of the categories. So it'll be a great challenge for us.
Well, that defense will be severely hampered if we're going by today's practice report. Azeez Al-Shaair did not practice. Kamari Lassiter, not out there. Henry To'o, not out there. Jimmy Ward, not out there as well. Foley Fadakasi did return to practice. So we're looking at backup linebackers, another game with a backup corner starting. And he mentioned that defensive line, the Texans are going to need those guys because they're shorthanded in a lot of places. It's going to be up to Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, and the return to Nicole Autry. We're done for the week. I'll talk to you on Monday. It'll be Sean and Paul coming up here, and then after them, the Killer Bees. So if we're done, what does that mean, Jason Tatum?
We did it!
We did do it. I'll talk to you on Monday.